Dr. William R. Glaze will have a live Facebook event Tuesday, April 18th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. During this live event, Dr. Glaze will address the topic, The Bible Under Attack. Many people do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the Bible is riddled with mistakes and contradictions, while others believe it has been tampered with, it is outdated, and has no relevancy for today. There will be an opportunity for you to post your questions or comments, and Dr. Glaze will respond. You can access your Facebook page by going to www.facebook.com/anchoredinjesusministries. Make plans to join Dr. Glaze on Tuesday, April 18th at 7:30 p.m. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Presenting the Gospel to the Unbeliever. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of presenting the gospel to the unbeliever.
This means to defend the faith. The word was a legal term which meant to give a well-reasoned argument that if nothing else, and again, I'm going to show you this morning, if nothing else about your Christian faith, if nothing else, you ought to be able to give a well-reasoned argument as to why you are a Christian. Saints, that's the bottom line. You ought to be able to give a well-reasoned argument why you're a child of God. You know, remember the question that I asked at the beginning of this series. If somebody was laying on the ground and they were dying, and they asked you, how can I get to heaven? What would you tell them? Hopefully, you've come a long way since the first couple of weeks. Hopefully, you've come a long way since the first couple of weeks. All right? The population, to who? Every man. You know, we can't be selective with the gospel. You know, we got to be willing and ready to share it with everybody. You know, black, white, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, on your job, not on your job. You got to be ready. It says every man in the interrogation that asketh you a reason. The word reason means the believer should be ready to give an account of his or her belief to all who ask. All right. The expectation of the hope that's in you. Right. You ought to be able to share the hope. Why do you have hope? You know, every time I do the funeral / homegoing service of an individual that knew the Lord, what is their hope? Their hope is one day, well, not them, for them, because they're in the presence of the Lord. So not one day, you better be, right? You better be in the presence of the Lord. But what is the hope? The hope is that for us, one day, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. What is the reality? The reality is for the individual that knows Christ to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so they have that awareness. They come to that reality of knowing that they are in the presence of God. That's our hope. So what is my hope? My hope is that one day, when I leave this life, and I don't know when it's going to be, but one day when I leave this life, I'm going to stand in the presence of the Lord. That's my hope. And what is the hope? It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the presentation. How should I do it? I shall do it with meekness and fear. What does that mean? Meekness means to be humble, yet not timid. Confident, yet not overbearing. Well-reasoned, yet not argumentative. You know, as I said last week, our job is to sow and to plant. It's not to argue people into their salvation. It's not to beat people up and into salvation. He said, do it with what? Meekness, right? With humbleness, with confidence, with a well-reasoned argument, yet do it with fear. That I do it like God, and He is looking over my shoulder. And I do it with fear. I've shared the illustration here before about the doctor who was getting ready to go in to perform a heart surgery. And somebody said, oh, you've done many of these heart surgeries before. You can probably do it with your eyes closed. And he said, no. He said, every time I do a heart surgery, I do it with the same care and caution that I did the first one. I do it with the utmost attention to every detail, and I do it with the utmost skills that I have. And so that's what it means in fear. It means that we're doing it like God is watching over us, and he is, and we're doing it with care and caution, and we're doing it, as we sang earlier, giving it our best. All right, so I got that out of the way. So, you know, that's to be our spirit. That's to be our heart. And so let's look at what your plan is. Leave that up there for a minute. Let me ask you a question. What is your plan? One Christian laid out his plan for evangelism. The second Christian said, I don't like your plan. The first Christian said, well, what's your plan? The second Christian said, well, I don't have a plan. The first Christian said, well, I like my plan better than yours. Somebody asked D.L. Moody or said to D.L. Moody, I don't like the way you do evangelism. And Moody said, I don't like the way that you don't do evangelism. So when we think about what's your plan? If I was to ask you right now, what is your plan for evangelism? Everybody ought to have some kind of plan. Well, let me offer a couple of things to you this morning, all right? That the first thing I want to say, if you'll go to that next slide, that, you know, I'm so passionate about this thing that actually, you know, about a year ago, I wrote a track. And the track that I wrote is, Have You Ever Thought About the Meaning of Life? And then I start the track. As you can see, I wish I had copied it and put it up there, but there's not a whole lot of reading in there. But I talk about what are people's viewpoints of life as they pursue life. And a couple things that people would say the meaning of life is to pursue happiness, to make the world a better place, to have peace with self and others, to understand the mysteries of the universe, to get a good education and earn a living. These are all things that people think about life. And then I go through and I talk about three types of life, because you already got their mind geared that way. And so I say there's human life, and all of us have human life. If you're sitting here today and you're breathing, you have human life. And then I talk about the fact that there is spiritual life. And you remember Adam, when he sinned in the garden and his spiritual life was cut off with God. He had no more connection with God. And so Jesus Christ came to give us what? Spiritual life. And then I talk about eternal life. And eternal life is living forever with God. And then we give a prayer of confession, and then we give him some advice. So, again, what is my job? What is my job? My job is to plant the seed, water it. So, you know, this is a powerful way to be able to plant seeds. So this is one way right here. You know, and these are, here you go. I said, you know we had to say this, right? These are in the bookstore. Right? The next one, another one that I wrote. What is this man thinking about? What is he thinking about? All right? We all have seen this, and I open up this little track by talking about what we have or what has been said about what this man is thinking. All right? So, this is going to grab somebody's attention, because people say, well, I see this statue everywhere, the statue of Rodin in Dante's Inferno, right? What is he thinking about? Well, you know what he's thinking about? in Dante's Inferno? That the man is sitting right outside the gates of hell. So what is he thinking about? If he's sitting outside the gates of hell and he's looking at the gates of hell, then he must be thinking about, or what Dante had in mind, he must have been thinking about hell. So I go through here and I talk about some of the horrors. And then we, at the end, again, give the gospel of Jesus Christ, how somebody can receive Christ and have eternal life. If you go to the next one. This right here is called the Romans Road. The Romans Road. This is what you can use to lead a person to Jesus Christ. First of all, Romans 3:23, man's need, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, sin's penalty, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's provision, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man's response, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. The Romans Road. You got a plan. Yeah, when I first started this message a couple weeks ago, I think I was getting ready to watch the Steelers game. And that evening. And I heard my phone, and I didn't get to it, but I picked up my phone, and it was Sister Connie Howard. So, and I asked her, could I share this? So she said I could share it. And she said, Pastor, something to this effect. I know I'm not getting it right exactly, but she said, Pastor, keep preaching that message on the gospel and teaching us about evangelism. She said, my sister called me today. Now, Connie, how long was it? 2 years, 5 years? 5 years. I haven't talked to her in 5 years. And she called me. And I was able. She talked about her need for salvation. And right there on the phone, I was able to explain salvation to her. And she prayed and asked Christ to come into her heart and be her Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. What a powerful testimony. But let me say something about Connie Howard, right? If she was trying to find a plan, of salvation, you know, her sister might have just hung up. You know, she had a plan. She had a plan. Saints, you got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you need to get a plan. The Roman roads is a good plan. Now, we got a whole rack full of tracks out there that, you know, you can go and those are free. You can take them right off there. And it covers just about every need that you would run into. So I'd encourage you, you know, today, you know, that track rack should be empty. All right. Here goes another way, right? The ABCs of salvation. Admit that you are a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe on Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Confess your faith. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, so here we go. That's that Romans 10 passage again. So, ABCs of the gospel. Here goes another plan. Now, let me give you, and I'm going to close with this. Let me give you the most effective way to share the gospel. And that is your personal testimony. Your personal testimony. And years ago, I challenged the whole church to write out their personal testimony. And many of you did and shared it with me. And I've had the opportunity at the homegoing of several individuals to read their testimony and how powerful that is. You know, when the person, in their own words, says that they're in heaven right now because of Jesus Christ. And everybody sitting there gets to hear it. When you write your personal testimony out, I'm saying it's pretty simple. What was your life like before Christ? You know? And so maybe some of you weren't out in the world. Maybe you grew up in the church, but you weren't saved. You know, what was your life like before Christ? And then how did you receive Christ? Who led you to Christ? You know, if you remember, what did they use to lead you to Jesus Christ? And then how has your life changed after Christ? How has your life changed after Christ? Write out your personal testimony. And even if you don't share it with me or anybody else, at least have your testimony. Do you have a testimony? You know, a lot of times we talk about, I got a testimony. And our testimony is about how God did something for us. How about you having a testimony about you giving your life to Jesus Christ? How about having that testimony and be able to share it with other people? So when I was a coach at Liberty University, one of the things that we did, or that I did, because I got a chance to meet a lot of other coaches, and so what I did was I had a card with my testimony on the back, and I just gave it out to football players and coaches. Now, that's back when I had a black mustache and hair. But let me just share with you my testimony, right? And it's, I mean, I could have made it longer, but in a nutshell, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. As a young man growing up in Pittsburgh, I was caught up in a life that was not pleasing to the Lord. After graduating from high school, I had the opportunity to go to a small college in Colorado. While there, it became evident to me that my life was empty and I was headed nowhere. I found that the things of the world offered me no lasting satisfaction or peace. One summer, while on break from college, an old high school buddy, Pastor Berkeley over in Braddock, invited me to go to church with him. I accepted the invitation, and that night, Jesus Christ became my Lord and Savior. After realizing that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, Romans 5:8, I bowed my head and asked him to come into my heart, Romans 10:13. Ever since that night, my life has been drastically changed, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so I had this, and I just had the opportunity, as I said earlier, I would meet coaches from other teams. I would meet players from other teams. And I had my testimony card in my pocket. And I would just say, hey, let me give you something to read when you get a chance. You know, because whatever you have, that's a way of connecting and identifying with people. And so I got the chance to connect and identify with a lot of football players and football coaches. And so we need to have a testimony. We need to be ready to tell our testimony. And if you don't do anything else before this day is over, put your testimony together. If you don't know your test, put your testimony together. And I find that maybe if you put your testimony together, one thing that you might find is, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it, that some people might not know the Lord. Because, you know, when people talk about testimony, they talk about all these other things. I read people's they talk about all these other things. And I'm looking, now where is it does you say you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? I see all this other stuff about all that you went through. But nowhere in here do I see that you asked Christ to come into your life, that you invited him in. So I would encourage you, write out your testimony. Have your testimony. And then you'll be ready. If you go back to that, okay, well, let me, since they put that picture up, I was going to go back. That's all right. We're good. Let me read this story to you. Then I'm going to be done. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occurred, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut. And there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea. And with no thought for themselves, they went out day and night tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station so that it became famous. Some of those were saved, and others in surrounding areas wanted to come and be a part of the work. New boats were bought. New crews were trained. The little life-saving station grew. Some of the new members of the life-saving station weren't happy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as a refuge for those who were saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in an enlarged building. Now the life-saving station became popular, a popular place for its members, and they redecorated it beautifully and furnished it as a sort of club. Less of the members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do the work. The mission of life-saving was still given lip service, but most were too busy or lacked the necessary commitment to take part in the life-saving activities personally. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought boatloads of cold, wet, half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and some of them had black skin, and some of them spoke strange language, and the beautiful new club was considerably messed up. So the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in club membership. Most members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal pattern of the club. But some members insisted that life-saving was still their primary purpose and pointed out that they still wanted to be called a life-saving station. But they, we're getting ready to have a business meeting. Right? But they were finally outvoted and told if they wanted to save the life of various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in the waters, they could go begin their own saving station down the coast. And they did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old one. They evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was founded. If you visit the seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along the shore. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, only now most people drown. Wow. So, as we get ready to build a new sanctuary, as we get ready to build a new life-saving station, will the members of this church begin to view it as a club? And the main focus and the main business will become secondary. And then we'll have this nice edifice, and it'll be clean, and it'll be nice, but it'll be us four no more and shut the door. That if we individually begin to lose our passion for evangelism, then it's going to be lost in the church. And so, again, as you leave today, there's no reason why you can't put together your own personal testimony about how you came to Christ. And as Peter said, be ready to give an answer to those who ask.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Models of Evangelism, Hindrances to Evangelism. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Presenting the Gospel to the Unbeliever, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Presenting the Gospel to the Unbeliever. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Presenting the Gospel to the Unbeliever. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of five books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your gifts and prayers that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.